This is 91.7 WVXU's Cincinnati Edition. I'm Jay Hanselman with Howard Wilkinson. Cincinnati's city charter was adopted in 1926, and it's been amended by voters several times since then, but there's never really been a comprehensive review of the document. That will soon change as a task force begins work on such a review. Councilmember Kevin Flynn joins us in the studio to discuss the process and what will be taking place. You can join our conversation. The number is 513-419-7100. Or email talk at WVXU.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Again, 513-419-7100. And Councilmember Flynn, thanks for being here this afternoon.
Good afternoon, Jay. Good afternoon, Howard.
I guess for the most part, it's not too much of an oversimplification to say that essentially, if we were comparing the city government to the federal government, the city charter is, in essence, the constitution of the city.
It should be, yes.
And as we've said, it was adopted in 1926, and several times throughout the years, voters have amended it, added things to it, changed some sections. But in doing that, there are still an awful lot of things in the charter right now that are no longer relevant, and that's what you're trying to fix.
Well, that's part of what we're trying to do. What we'll call the administrative cleanup issues. There's things in our charter that are inconsistent with how state law has been for 60, 70 years as far as notice of meetings and things like that. There are provisions that were established in our charter before state law ever dealt with some of these issues that have really been superseded by state law. Along with things that Cincinnati used to have. For example, the University of Cincinnati, some people may not know, was a city-owned institution. There's still an entire section dealing with the University of Cincinnati as a city-owned institution.
And I think another section dealing with, is it General Hospital?
General Hospital, which became University Hospital, now right. UC Medical Center.
Mm-hmm. So that seems like the easy stuff. To take care of, to square the charter with state law, remove references to University of Cincinnati General Hospital. Some of the other stuff could probably be just a little bit more contentious.
A lot contentious. You know, Cincinnati was the first major city in America to adopt the city manager form of government. And then in the early 90s, we didn't go quite to a executive mayor form of government. We went to this strange hybrid that we have where our mayor is involved in both the legislative function, the executive function, what used to be the city manager function. And so that entire look at what form of government Cincinnati should have is certainly going to be contentious, but it's certainly something that deserves a look.
So what's this task force? I mean, obviously a group is going to study this. What's this task force going to look like? How many members and who's going to chair it?
It'll be 15 to 20 members. There will probably be additional people that will be involved as interest in a particular issue. We don't want to exclude anyone that has an interest in studying this and offering constructive thoughts relative to it. Right now, we've identified Mike Morgan, who's an attorney here locally, has been involved with the Charter Committee, and has been studying it since I stepped down as Charter President a little over a year ago. Has been studying the charter because this was one of my big issues before I started running for city council a year ago. And then we also want to involve Cincinnatus, so I've asked Mark Silversack from Cincinnatus to help out, and he's agreed to help out as well. And it's kind of interesting that Charter and Cincinnatus were the two groups that formed back in the 20s mm-hmm. to create the original charter.
Yeah, and obviously there will be Democrats, Republicans, charterites, independents.
Yes.
Will these necessarily be people who are active in Cincinnati politics or people who are just interested citizens or both?
Both, I think. One of the things, in order to make a constructive change to the charter, it will have to be voted on by the electorate. So we want to have buy-in from the people that are politically active, but also from people that just care about Cincinnati.
And even the little things like the University Hospital, the General Hospital, even though they make no sense now, the voters would still have to approve those charter changes to remove references to them in the charter.
Correct. And that's been a preliminary discussion, has been, should we do this all as one big massive change, or should we do some incremental changes, perhaps take care of some of the low-hanging fruit, the easy changes, get some success, show how people from all political parties and no political party can work together constructively, and then we can attack some of the more contentious
items. Would you be inclined to do it that way?
I see advantages to both. You know, one, if we do it all as one, there's the opportunity for compromise, and they say politics is the art of compromise, so that not everybody is going to get everything they want in all articles of the charter. The problem with doing it all at once is it gives everyone that doesn't like something the opportunity to vote against the entire charter change.
Right. So if you have a proposal to make a major change in the powers of the mayor and also have something which would change the way that city council itself is elected, I mean, those are almost two separate issues. You would almost have to separate those, wouldn't you?
Well, you may put them on the ballot at the same time. I mean, one of the things that we have to be careful about is making sure we're not making a major structural change in one area that is inconsistent with something in another area, and they don't match up because one passes and one doesn't.
Back to this, the task force, the 15 to 20 members, do you see those, any council members being involved, or do you not want council members on the task force?
I don't see council members being involved directly on the task force, including myself. The task force will give periodic reports to the Rules and Audit Committee,
which you chair,
that I chair. But I want it to be independent of city council. That being said, I have asked city council members as well as the mayor to make suggestions. I've been pleasantly surprised that in the 2 days since we've announced this, there's already been an overwhelming response of people wanting to get involved in this. So I think that people see this as a need.
And I think also if you go to our website, wvxu.org, you'll find a link to an application there that you can fill it out online, and that goes to your office, I believe.
Thank you for including that link, Jeff.
You mentioned the task force itself, but I think when you first talked about this maybe in January, that you also said there could be some subcommittees that would do some work and report back to the task force.
And that's, you know, when we're talking about it, are we going to go to, I know one of the other council members has a proposal to go to an executive mayor forum. That's certainly something we want to look at. Those that are interested in that issue could perhaps participate. I want this to be as open and transparent a process as possible. One of the things we're looking at doing is including social media and minute reports, blog reports on all of the meetings of the committee, of the task force, as well as any subcommittees. So there should be engagement.
You talked about the other day about cities around the country that have a charter form of government and taking a look at them. Would this task force do that by traveling around the country or by just having discussions with people in other cities? How would that work?
Well, I think one of the things that we're attempting to arrange is through some nonprofit grants, because I don't want any city money to be spent on this. We're attempting to get some grants to have researchers do the research. I don't know that it necessarily involves traveling to see them, Howard, but certainly talking to people. When the 4-year terms for city council members was being researched by a group of the League of Women Voters and the Women's City Club and Cincinnatus and Charter, we did a lot of calling to other cities. And the folks that were really involved in creating a report on that talked to people. How do they do it? How does it work? What are the good things about it? What are the bad things about it?
Howard has certainly covered city politics for, what, 30-plus years.
Yes.
I'm coming up on 20-plus years. And maybe it's because we're here, and it always seems to me like Cincinnati is never happy with its form of government. There's always, we need to do districts for council elections, or we need to do proportional representation. We need to do executive mayor. We need to do districts and at large. Is this a uniquely Cincinnati thing? Does it happen in other cities? We just don't know about it.
I think it does happen across the country. I think I can't remember who had the famous quote, but, you know, talking about democracy as being a horrible form of government, only it's better than every other form of government that exists.
Well, you were elected as a candidate of the Charter Committee.
Correct.
And it was the Charter Committee that created the Charter back in the 1920s. And over the years, I've seen an evolution in the Charter Committee in terms of how they look at changes in that original charter. You believe that the Charter Committee could support something like an strong executive mayor?
I think there are many charterites that would never support that. It's interesting when you say, you know, when you talk about executive mayor, I'm glad you didn't use the term strong mayor, because some people say we have the strongest, the form of government we have right now gives us the opportunity to have the strongest mayor in the country. Because not only does the mayor have executive power and veto power, but the mayor also controls the legislative branch through the appointment of committee chairs, through the opportunity to assign legislation. We've talked about the pocket veto that we've attempted to address through council rules, but there's, you know, those are rules of council. Those aren't ingrained in our Constitution.
And let's just say the pocket veto is what's sometimes referred to when something perhaps is introduced in council, the mayor can literally just sit on it and not do anything with it until the end of the term, and then by the end of the term, it's too late for it to be enacted.
Yeah, that's the upfront pocket veto. We dealt with the back-end pocket veto that we had seen in the last government, the last administration.
And the way that's dealt with it was that it could pass out of a committee with majority support, but it was up to the mayor to place it on the agenda for the full council. And in the previous rules, you didn't have to do that. Now it's, what, 2 weeks?
You have two regular meetings of council, and it has to be placed on the agenda.
Former solicitor John Kerp and I were having a discussion about updating the charter, and he thought that this was a good idea. But then he also said, yeah, it's a good idea, but it also could be a bad idea because there may be unintended consequences of reviewing the charter.
Well, I think it's a greater hazard for unintended consequences when we do things piecemeal. And that's why I want it to be a comprehensive review, so that we make sure that we have everything working together. Will there be those that disagree that it's an improvement? Absolutely. Will there be further looks, if it is successful in reforming the charter, will there be further looks? Of course there will be. And that's a good thing. We want our government to be a living institution.
The idea, I think, supporters of the executive mayor would say that gives the people, when they're voting, they know that the buck stops with the mayor whoever he or she might happen to be at that time. If they're not happy, then the next election, they don't have to return them to office. Is that the correct analogy?
That's what I've heard, yes.
What about, we spend a lot of time talking about the mayor. What about, do you see this delving into council districts, you know, some sort of hybrid where you have districts and at-large? I know a few years ago there was a charter amendment attempting to restore proportional representation where you kind of weight your vote when you're casting votes for council members.
And Howard's probably the only one that could explain proportional representation.
I'm not going to go beyond that.
But, no, I see all of that, including, you know, we went to four-year terms, but we didn't go to staggered four-year terms so that there's absolutely no opportunity for citizens right now to weigh in on their government at all for another 4 years. That can be a good thing or it can be a bad thing.
And I just had a thought and it left my mind, and that's not a good thing. I know. What about this, the idea that some things are added to the charter? Are they appropriate to be the charter? For example, there have been charter amendments in the last few years that ban the city from ever using red light cameras. I think the city is also prohibited from ever imposing a trash or a solid waste fee. I think there was another one that you can't even, the city couldn't, if it wanted to, form a water utility district. Are those the appropriate places? Is the charter the appropriate place for those kind of things?
That is definitely something that will be looked at by the task force as to, again, if you think of the charter as the constitution of the city, those are probably more appropriate as ordinances.
Because those are policy things.
Those are policy things. And they've been given sort of super status by being charter amendments, partially at least because the charter can be amended pretty much the same way that you could do an initiative or referendum. It's the same qualification. So why not, if you're going to go to the effort of trying to do a citizen initiative, why not do it as a charter amendment?
This task force, I guess, is going to work for at least 6 months to a year.
That's correct.
And come with recommendations to the mayor and city council. What happens at that point? Does city council then basically pick it apart and pick and choose what they want to put on the ballot?
Well, and again, there will probably be recommendations as to that we should put this all on as one thing, or we should put it, we don't have consensus on this, right. So we want to put this part on the ballot. It takes 6 votes of council to place something on the charter, on the ballot for a charter amendment.
Mm-hmm.
It can also be done by petition. I believe it's 10% of the voters in the last municipal election. So it could be done either way. Obviously, it's much easier to get something on the ballot if we can get 6 members of council to agree to it. I don't know whether that will happen or not. So, but we shouldn't stop trying just because it might be hard.
So it could be some of the easy things end up by a council-sponsored charter amendment, and then if there are interested, concerned citizens, they could end up putting other parts of the plan on the ballot.
Yes, and I think the last time when we went to this hybrid mayor, there were, should it be by council vote, should it be by petition, and there were different groups that didn't like parts of it that said, we're not going to support this, we're not going to do this, or we will do it, but you have to compromise and put something, the primary, the September primary on there is needed in order to get the League of Women Voters support or things like that.
Is that something that could change too? I know there's some thought that that's not really needed, the September primary. just let everybody face off in November? And we're talking about the mayor's race.
The mayor's race right now has that primary if there are more than two candidates. It's certainly something that will be looked at. Everything will be looked at. I'm not going to say whether I have a problem if you get too crowded of a race with perhaps what some would consider fringe candidates, because people don't pay attention to the race until September, October, November.
Well, council member or vice mayor David Mann has proposed, you know, that kind of a field race in November, and then having the top two vote getters in a runoff, perhaps a couple weeks later. He would be free to obviously push that plan with the Charter Reform Task Force, I would think.
Absolutely.
How is this, you're going to put together your task force. Is this something then that gets... are they going to go around the different city neighborhoods to, you know, hold public hearings and say, all right, we're working on reviewing the charter. What are your ideas for what needs to be cleaned up, added?
I'm not sure that they'll be going to community council meetings, but there will be an engagement process through social media, through electronic media, so that, as well as meetings that anyone in the public can attend.
And you're looking for 15 to 20 task force members. What's your timeline? When would you like them named, and when would they begin
working? I'd like to be able to name the task force within a month so that they can immediately then begin work. It's going to take a long time to get the work done. We've got an opportunity here. I think that, as many people... And as diverse a group of Cincinnatians as we can get would be helpful.
And are you making these selections? Are you making the selections in conjunction with council and the mayor?
I'm going to consult with all of them. Since it's a task force of the Rules Committee, it falls within my purview, but I don't like to operate that way. I like to operate by consensus, so I'm going to try and get a consensus on this.
Is this something that could turn into an endless conversation that folks are hopelessly deadlocked and, you know, you can take care of the easy things, but the rest of them, you're just going to keep talking and nothing will come out of it?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm going to push for a report after they've had adequate time to do the research, to have the discussions. I'm going to push for a report, even if the report is... there's a majority that support this, but there's a strong minority position that says something else.
I told you before we started that I said a couple minutes, since I had a council member here, I wasn't going to let pass that there's a big topic coming up on Monday in the Budget and Finance Committee.
On St. Patrick's Day, Jay.
Yeah.
Just where I wanted to spend my St. Patrick's Day. And Mayor Cranley this week introduced an ordinance that would essentially let a federal court mediate a solution to the city's pension problem, which is underfunded, and if something's not done, eventually, sometime in the future, it'll run out of money to pay benefits. Where do you, you were at his press conference when he announced this, you seem supportive. Why is that the right way to go?
Well, I've worked with Mayor Cranley on developing the parameters that we set forth in the ordinance as to where the city manager can do these things, because I do think a solution has to be had, and it has to be had in the relatively short term. One of the things that if council just tried to enact an ordinance, we could be assured there would be a lawsuit, and so we would be in court anyway. If we abridge that step and get it into court, we get everyone agreeing with a pretty darn good judge, Judge Barrett, mediating this to put the screws to everybody to come to a realistic solution.
And probably everybody, no one, it's going to be a deal that probably not everyone's going to be happy, and everyone's probably going to have to give something in the process.
that is what they say is the essence of a good deal, is when no one is happy with it, that means it was probably a fair deal.
And council will be talking about that during a Budget and Finance Committee meeting on Monday and could take a vote next Wednesday on the ordinance itself.
That is correct.
We've been talking about the upcoming process for a formal review of Cincinnati City Charter with Councilmember Kevin Flynn, who's putting together a task force to review the document. Again, if you're interested in serving on that group, you'll find a link to an application on our website, wvxu.org. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our programs are available on our website. Producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier. Our technical director was Bruce Ellis. With Howard Wilkinson, I'm Jay Hanselman.